Good morning. You're listening to the Aggie Morning Word Podcast, KBLU LP 92.3, Logan, Utah.
Hi, guys. I am Joshua Corey.
And I'm Morgan Pratt. And it's so beautiful today.
It is really warm outside, actually. I am super surprised.
Yeah, the snow that came yesterday mixed with the clouds makes for, like, a beautiful winter wonderland. And it's just so... It's not as cold as it was yesterday. Yeah, that's for sure.
Definitely. Kind of going a little bit into the weather forecast today, we actually have a low of 34 today, which is a lot higher than I've seen in the past couple of days, and a high of 37. And we're going to be expecting some snow with some brief sleet intermixed inside. So just do be careful when you're going out there and just try not to slip. The air quality is good today. And I'd actually like to start the show off before we get started with anything else with actually a news story regarding the weather, which is something we don't do too much. According to CNN, the cold is taking hold of the U.S. weather pattern for the next week. Over the next 7 days, 80% of the country will at some point see temperatures below freezing. More than half of the continental United States will have below average temperatures Friday. Temperatures will be 20 to 30 degrees below average in locations stretching from the Montana to South Texas. Dangerous wind chills could yield temperatures as low as 40 degrees below zero in the northern plains on Friday. And snow did contribute to a 30-car pileup on Interstate 96 in Fowlerville, Michigan on Thursday. Police have reported two deaths. So our recommendation to you guys is when you're heading out there today for whatever reason, or if you're going to be heading home super early for Christmas break, make sure you guys just watch the roads and drive carefully. The word of the day, and this is kind of a fun word, is deedle, and that's spelled D-A-E-D-A-L. Which means skillful, artistic, or intricate, as in those anchors on the Aggie Morning Word podcast make deedle use of comedy and prose to create an informative and entertaining podcast and atmosphere.
Josh is lying to you right now.
I never lie. I just stretch the truth a little bit. Like all those fake news stories that you see on Facebook. And we'll get to those later on in the podcast today. But Morgan, what happened this day in history?
So this day in history, in 1992, 1,800 United States Marines arrived in Somalia to spearhead the multinational force aimed at restoring order in the conflict-ridden country.
Awesome. And looks like we have a couple of interesting holidays today. We have on our little spreadsheet weird holidays, and I really hesitate to call them that because not all of them are weird. Like, for example, today is Christmas card day, so that means if you guys haven't sent your Christmas cards out yet, today is the perfect day to do so. So if you need a break from studying for those wonderful finals that are coming up next week that you're all going to do very good at, if you guys can just start writing out Christmas cards to people.
I still haven't even, like, thought about Christmas. I have bought things for Christmas other than things I've already given away. So, like...
Well, I'm kind of, like, freaking out because I'm trying to figure out what I want to get my parents for Christmas. And I'm like, I have no idea.
Well, and then, like, we have to pay tuition on the 14th, right? Like, we can't pay for Christmas and tuition. I wish they came in, like, different months.
You guys are getting a Valentine's gift. Today's also
That's after you pay for books.
Oh, yeah, so. That's after everything. So. But then also today is National Pastry Day, so save a life, hug a donut. all right, well, let's just jump into it immediately. We're going to jump into international news. This first one has been actually getting quite a lot of buzz. South Korean lawmakers have impeached their president, they made her religious. The stunning and swift fall for Park Geun-hye, the country's first female leader, and I apologize if I mispronounced that name, follows protests over a corrosive corruption scandal that drew millions into the street in united fury.
Wow, that's united fury.
United States fury. What? I'm just saying it sounds a lot awfully familiar to what's going on in this country a little bit too, minus the impeachment.
In other news, there may be a halt in combat in combat. What am I saying? There might be
halt in combat
in Aleppo.
Tip of the teeth.
Syrian troops and allied forces shell eastern neighborhoods in the city of Russia's announcement. Okay, Syrian troops and allied forces shell eastern neighborhoods of the city despite Russia's announcement that Syrian's army was suspending combat operations to allow for evacuation of civilians.
How the fight against Islamic State group is shifting. Iraqi security forces intend to focus on intelligence work to counter the extremists' expected move back to a dispersed underground terror organization after they are driven out of Mosul.
So jumping into international news, the U.S. government is on the verge of a shutdown again.
This is political news, Martin.
Oh, what did I say?
You said international. Just wanted to.
Oh, this is no.
This is political news, guys. We're going a little more local now.
But the good news is that any potential shutdown probably wouldn't last long. The Senate says it'd pull a year. Congress passed a temporary spending bill to keep the D.C.'s lights on, and that expires today. Guess who still doesn't have their crap together? Yep, that's Congress. So now they have an okay to they have to okay another temporary extension to fund the government through April. That bill passed in the House, but the Senate Dems are holding it up, arguing that the extended health benefits of retired coal miners that expire soon. They're trying to convince the Senate Republicans to agree. Republicans are saying that the House members have already gone home for the holidays and aren't looking for a weekend of all-nighters to talk it out and vote before the winter break. So the government, with the government lights shut down on Saturday, if the Senate passes, doesn't pass more money into the piggy bank, nothing like bipartisan holiday cheer. Happy holidays, everybody.
I do just want to say, that's Congress. That should be the line of a new sitcom about, like, the House of Representatives and, like, the Senate. Just, it's all just about how these two houses just can't get along, and then whenever something happens, like, all the public goes, that's Congress, and then the canned laughter occurs. Earlier this week, a federal judge put the brakes on Michigan's recount of presidential election results. Just as a reminder for what's going on, during the presidential campaign, the U.S. government accused Russia of interfering with the presidential election by doing things like hacking the DNC. Then after the election, data scientists said they found evidence that votes may have been hacked in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, three states that President-elect Donald Trump won by slim margins. So over the past few weeks, Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein filed for recounts in all of those states, and Hillary Clinton's team said, we want a piece of that. The recount is underway in Wisconsin, but now the judge in Michigan says it's not happening because Stein doesn't have enough proof that voting was hacked. Pennsylvania's, what's the word?
Pennsylvania's what?
I said, Pennsylvania's judge saying it'll, Pennsylvania is saying it'll consider the request to recount today. And everyone else is saying these counts never really make a difference anyway. 2016, go home. You're drunk.
I mean, yeah. So there's no doubt that, I mean, Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote by millions of votes. But yet here we are. Let's abolish the Electoral College. Yeah, take it down. Let's just
at least change it up a little bit so that way maybe the people get a little bit more of a say. Yeah. At least maybe a little bit. I know we can't like vote on every single thing in a true democracy, but at least give us a little more sway in the grand scheme of things.
In other news, Mitt Romney was spotted near the Trump Tower during his visit to New York on Thursday. A witness says that Romney was hustling away from the building like he didn't want to be seen. Romney still is reportedly in the running to be Donald Trump's Secretary of State.
Speaking of the Trumpster, he taps Andrew Puzder, CEO of everyone's favorite Carl's Jr. fast food franchise, to be Secretary of Labor. Puzder is an outspoken critic of calls to raise the minimum wage. So,
similar news, actually. Washington Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers is rumored to be the top of Donald Trump's list for Interior Secretary. McMorris Rogers is currently the chair of House of GOP conference. If she gets the job, Utah Representative Mia Love is among those who could make the bid for the fourth position of House leadership. And also, Trump is considering Bobby Valentine to be ambassador to Japan, and he is a professional baseball player and manager. He's also the current athletic director at Sacred Heart University.
Okay, and I could get maybe like putting like the CEO of a very big chain to be like to be the Secretary of Labor, because like he understands kind of what's going on with all that. We need someone to be the ambassador of Japan. Hey, Japan likes baseball. Let's put a baseball star up there. Okay.
It's true. Well, anyway, so conflict of interest, anyone? President-elect will remain an executive producer of the latest season of The Apprentice. This is not ceremonial either, as a Trump will pull a reported five-figure salary from the show. Wow.
So while the Schwarzenegger is saying the very popular catchphrase, you're fired, Trump is still raking in the money in the background.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is now...
He's going to be the host of The Apprentice.
He's not. Oh, my gosh. What's wrong with this world?
I'm seriously considering, like, watching that show just to see, like... When I heard Snooki is going to be one of the people on the...
Really?
One of the apprentices, I guess. I don't know what the plural for apprentice is. Apprentice-I. Cactus. Let's see. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid is actually retiring. He gave his final speech yesterday, which was directed at Donald Trump. I kind of want to get a copy of this speech now to see what that means.
And he also, President Barack Obama, left a very nice video about Harry Reid. It was short and sweet and talked about his time together with Harry Reid.
Aww.
So shout out to him.
Oh, let's see. Why is the business community pressuring Trump?
Because they hate him?
Well,
I'm just kidding. No, they probably love him.
Well, that's a given. Well, the hating part. Well, some employers want him to abandon campaign trail pledges of mass deportation and other hardline immigration policies because such moves could actually hurt the economy.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, actually, it reminds me of, like, and this is something that, like, a lot of people are saying that they're, like, back, you know, when immigration was like a big issue that no one wanted to happen, like people were saying that, like, you know, people from Mexico and other like people from out of the country are taking our jobs, and the counter argument is that for that is like, well, yeah, they might be taking the jobs, but they're taking the jobs that you don't want to take, like, you know, fast food worker or just like those entry level jobs that, like, because they just don't have like the education necessary. And so on one hand, people are saying, like, yeah, they're taking your jobs. We don't want this to happen. But at the same, we need to get them out of the country. But at the same time, once these people leave, there's going to be, like, no one who really wants to take these jobs. These guys are pretty much carrying the country on their shoulders. They're, like, one of the most important parts of this country. So
these immigrants are taking our jobs. But I didn't know that you wanted to work in, like, a field.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, Mr. Big CEO person, I didn't know you were so interested in going back and working like cashier at McDonald's or something like that. Like,
well, I mean, that's being automated at this point. Those jobs are nil, let's be real.
Yes.
All right. So Hillary Clinton, she is, you know.
Praise Hillary.
Yeah. In her first speech since losing the presidential election, she calls for the rise of fake news. She calls the rise of fake news an epidemic. So
and I think that's something that both parties can get behind.
Donald Trump is the face of fake news. He tweets out more fake news than anybody else.
But see, we know it's fake.
No, people don't. They don't understand that he just pulls.
Oh, that's true.
Well, actually, this story is actually... shows you how much that Donald Trump just pulls facts and figures out of his you-know-what that we can't say on the radio.
I don't know, Morgan, what?
His B-U-T-T. GOP strategist Karl Rove criticized Donald Trump on Wednesday after he slammed the cost of the Boeing deal. So we talked about this on Wednesday.
We did talk about this on
it was
Wednesday.
Like $4 million ticket for...
$4 billion
dollars. Ticket for airplanes. But Karl Rove is saying, no way, that's not an accurate figure at all. There's no contract for $4 billion with Boeing, but there is a contract for $170 million. There's no $4 billion contract. He repeats this a lot. He says the impulse that we want to save the taxpayers' monies, and that's admirable, but this was fire, ready, and aim, on my opinion. So Donald Trump just like doesn't fact check anything.
You do have to wonder where that $4 billion figure came from, though.
His head! It came from his head!
Okay, whatever you say. All right, well, let's turn a little bit now to national news and get out of the murky waters of politics. Morgan, what you got?
Speaking of murky waters.
Nope, we're going back in. Okay.
So, right here in the United States, there is radiation that's being detected from Fukushima. So, you know, in Japan, you remember the one with the nuclear crap Godzilla. That happened? No. Well, I guess, yeah, that too. But what happened was...
Fukushima was the nuclear reactor meltdown, basically, that the whole city is now, you can't live in it anymore because it's highly irradiated.
I think that Fukushima had some issues with the tsunami a couple of years ago.
Oh, I'm thinking of Chernobyl, maybe.
Yeah,
Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's cool. But what happened, for the first time, seaborne radiation from Japan's Fukushima nuclear disaster has been detected on the West Coast. So the reason scientists know that this is from this radiation is from Fukushima is because it's cesium-134. It's so called the fingerprint of Fukushima. It was measured in the seawater samples taken at Tillamook Bay and Gold Beach in Oregon.
Oregon, really?
Yeah. Researchers from the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute are reporting because of the short half-life, cesium-134 can actually have come from Fukushima. And for the first time, cesium-134 has been detected in Canadian salmon. Fukushima Inform Project led by... So these oceanographers are saying that salmon are also being impacted.
Oh, my gosh.
So...
That is crazy. How long ago did Fukushima happen?
I don't remember.
Five or six years ago. I can't say forever ago, but... And, we're still seeing, these...
Yeah.
Like,
this, no. This is...
This is it, or should we be concerned, or is
Yo,
this,
yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, yes, but is it hazardous to health? I guess is the better question.
Does radiation sound?
Well, not all radiation is bad.
I don't know.
X-rays are a form of radiation, and technically, visible light could be considered a form of radiation. So it's it just depends on, if this is potentially hazardous. I would really like to know. I would like to know this. And it looks like Morgan and I actually might be looking this up for us.
Yeah, we'll find out.
In the meantime, we're going to move on for just a couple of seconds here. We actually would like to pay a little bit of tribute to John Glenn. For those of you who don't know, he was the first American to orbit Earth, and he passed away yesterday at age 95. Glenn's historic flight happened back in the early 60s at a time when space travel was still a very new thing. He also served in the Marines during World War II, serving as an Ohio senator for more than two decades, and he was the oldest person to go to space in the late 90s. Glenn's cause of death is unclear, but he was hospitalized recently, and he had suffered a stroke in the past. So a very wonderful member of our country and our not our community, but a wonderful member of our country has unfortunately passed away, and we honor you, Mr. Glenn.
In other news, there was an execution carried out, as I understand, of a prisoner in Alabama, and that happened with a lot of difficulty. The execution requires two conscious tests as an inmate heaves and coughs 13 minutes into the lethal injection.
So he was still alive 13 minutes after the injection, and he was coughing and heaving, which is never a good sign.
No.
And there's been a lot of, companies trying to sell these new lethal injections, and they keep trying to sell these new designer drugs, and I think maybe that's part of the problem here, is that people just keep looking for cheaper alternatives, and I'm not this stuff just kind of scares me a little bit. Lamar Jackson captures Maxwell Award. For those of you guys who don't know who Lamar Jackson is, you're not alone. We didn't either until we looked up this story. But he has been awarded the Maxwell Award as the nation's top college football player, gives the Louisville quarterback a leg up in the race for the Heisman Trophy. So Lamar Jackson plays for Louisville as a quarterback, and he could very well win the Heisman if with this award under his belt. It's looking very good for him. So you might hear a little more about this I don't know, on ESPN or if any. Or do we have a sports program on Aggie Radio, Morgan?
Yeah, there are some sports shows. I think that they're later on in the day, from like 4 or 5.
I'm trying to like look at our schedule and I like can't tell all the they all.
But
have
they big... also podcast all of their shows, and that's usually how I listen in.
Oh, that's true. All right, guys. Well, we also are going to be jumping into a little bit of local news for just a couple seconds here. Overstock.com chairman of the board and former gubernatorial candidate Jonathan Johnson smells a rat in the deal struck between Utah and Amazon.com to collect sales tax for online purchases. Amazon will get to keep 18% of the sales tax they collect from Utah residents under terms of the agreement.
In other news, Governor Gary Herbert, or as we like to call him, Gerbert, says Utah education leaders need to get on the same page to come up with a long-term plan for improving education in the state.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, we're going to be taking a quick musical break. When we come back...
Musical break?
A musical break. That's what else would you call it?
We're going to listen to music?
A musical break.
Okay.
I know what I'm talking about, Morgan. Okay, it's a scientific term. When we come back, we're going to be jumping into, speaking of science, we're going to jump into some science news, and we do have some very interesting stories from the news today. All this coming up on the Aggie Morning Word. In the meantime, I'm Joshua Corey.
I'm Morgan Pratt.
Stay tuned.
Hi, this is JD, host of Colony Collapse, the show that uses sound and science to bring disorder to the beehive state every Monday, 10 to midnight. And you're listening to 92.3 KBLULP, Logan, Utah.
Flying round and round, making a groovy sound. It's the flight of the psychedelic bumblebee.
That's one small step for man.
Science is a system of statements based on direct experience.
Yes, science!
And controlled by experimental verification.
Through science, we can tackle some of the biggest challenges that we face.
Or as we say, science is real.
One giant leap for mankind.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone, to the Aggie Morning Word. I'm Joshua Corey.
And I'm Morgan Pratt. And we were talking about this crazy thing called cesium.
Cesium, actually.
Oh,
sorry.
You're right.
I'm a teeny, teeny bit of a nerd, and I do happen to know that the pronunciation is cesium.
Oh, okay. Well, I have like
I used to say it cesium too for a long time until my chemistry teacher finally snapped at me, but just like stared at me and he's like, "There's no N in that word. It's cesium." And I was like,
"It looks like cesium." Okay.
I know, that's why I kept saying it like that for like 15 years.
So that stuff is floating around the West Coast right now.
If you guys remember our Fukushima story, it's coming. It's a result of the Fukushima event that happened a while back ago.
And so it's floating around our western coast. And so according to nuclear scientists, if you're exposed to cesium, many factors determine whether or not you'll be harmed. These factors include how much, how long you're exposed to it, and how you came in contact with this. You're also at risk depending on your age, your sex, your diet, your traits, your lifestyle, and your state of health. So probably like a little amount from this water probably isn't a big deal right now, but TBD on whether or not it'll be a bigger...
It'll be a bigger deal later on in the future, but there you go. There's your cesium report. We'll keep you updated on that in our weather section from now on.
In other news, a lot of parents... A lot of people hate millennials because they think that we're freeloaders and that we're always asking money from our parents and we can't just get a job that pays. But a new study shows that people in their 30s, so those are actually still millennials, are earning more cash and money than their parents. About half of 30-year-olds earn more money than their parents did when they were 30, which is a huge deal because back in the 70s, almost all 30-year-olds were making more money than their parents at that same age. This is thanks to the growing economic and inequality in the recent years. But wait, there's more good news. Yesterday, data came out shows that life expectancy for Americans has gone down just a little bit for the first time in more than 2 decades. Blame heart disease, Alzheimer's, kidney disease. Bottom line, it looks like we're all getting sicker and poorer. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, everyone. So if the cesium doesn't get you, the decreased... the decreased life expectancy, you will.
Expectancy.
All right, guys. Well, and a bit of a nautical mystery for you guys. In early November, an international diving expedition set out from Indonesia into the Sea of Java, which is not coffee, to find the wrecks of several Dutch warships that sank during World War II. The team planned to place a plaque next to the wreck of a Dutch admiral's warship to commemorate the upcoming 75th anniversary of its sinking. Only problem was they couldn't find the ships. They had seriously just vanished. The wrecks of the admiral's ships, the cruiser HNMLS De Ruyter, and another Dutch cruiser, had completely disappeared. Most of the remains of the Dutch destroyer were also missing. According to the Dutch according to the Dutch Ministry of Defense, divers did find tracks and sonar recordings showing the imprints of the ships at the bottom of the sea. But it wasn't just Dutch warships. British warships that also sank in the Battle of Java Sea apparently had also completely gone missing. The British and Dutch governments issued public condemnations, and the U.S. Navy also received a statement expressing concern that the wreck of the USS Perch, a sovereign vessel, has been salvaged without the permission or knowledge of the U.S. government. So, if Brad were here, I'm sure he'd be mentioning aliens at this point. But
It's probably aliens.
This could also mean that some an unknown company or an unknown benefactor is somehow salvaging these remains without people knowing them and just kind of taking them for his own private collection. So
random.
It's random, but these wrecks can be worth a ton of money. Oh. So if someone has these things, they could be making a lot of money somewhere.
Oh. In other science news, giraffes are on the extinction watch list.
Why?
Yep, it's a recent thing. Biologists said the giraffe is the tallest land animal, is at risk of extinction. The giraffe population has shrunk nearly 40% in just 30 years. Scientists have put it on the official watch list of threatened and endangered species worldwide, calling it vulnerable. That's two steps up the danger ladder from its previous designation of being a species of least concern. I didn't know there were like different classifications. I'm sure there are.
We're not very worried about them, but they're on the list.
The International Union of Conservation of Nature said the giraffe population in 2015 was around 97,000 down between 150,000 and 160,000 in 1985. Scientists are blaming habitat loss for the decline.
Oh, and I'm sure their very long necks don't help. Those don't look like they're very, what's the word? They're effective, but they're unfortunately not very, like, comfortable, I'd imagine. Well, guys, before we jump into our quirky news, we would like to mention one event going on the USU campus. The Fine Arts Visual Building, the FAV building, is actually having a ceramic sale, which is really cool. If you guys go to the FAV building, room 123, between 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. today or tomorrow, you guys can pick up some functional ceramics. They come in a variety of price ranges, something that can fit everyone's budget. So if you're looking for a nice Christmas gift for mom or dad or your roommate or, you know, whoever, go check out the FAV sale, the FAV ceramics holiday sale. And you guys might see something you like. And even if you don't buy something, these students worked really hard on these projects to be able to sell them. And I'm sure they look amazing. I want to go check it out sometime later today. So now let's...
In all the news. This weekend, tonight and tomorrow, Alpha Tau Omega is hosting Starry Night, which is a fundraiser to help some kids get adopted. It's the fifth annual Starry Night concert benefiting a special charity called Racing Orphans with Down Syndrome. All proceeds of the night will go to a family who is trying to adopt Asher, an orphan with Down Syndrome. With our help, they'll bring him to the United States and give him the love and care he deserves. The music and the cause is always a holiday favorite for those who attend. Also going on, there is a poetry reading tonight, and a symphonic band is playing tonight, and there's The Matchmaker also going on. So there's a lot of stuff.
The play The Matchmaker.
Yeah.
Okay. No. So I was like, is there just Morgan's someone running going around?
That's me. You know who's terrible playing Matchmaker?
Who?
Me.
Why?
Because none of my couples work out. You know, the last time I tried to play Matchmaker?
What happened?
Not the last time, but I married the guy.
Aww.
So, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, if you guys didn't know, Morgan and the other guys, you sent them to the show, Brad, are actually a couple, and it's very sweet. So
yeah. So now quirky news.
Quirky news. Let's see here. Well, this one I actually decided to go onto Twitter today. I never go on Twitter, and so this was a very special occasion. And I want to tell you guys about a very special someone who's going to be celebrating her quinceañera coming up pretty soon here. Her name is Ruby Ibarra Garcia. She made a homemade video with an open invitation to her quinceañera on December 26th. And she may not have expected it to go viral, but now more than a million people have RSVP'd. A Mexican airline has discount tickets, and even a former ambassador is tweeting about it.
She kind of looks like a little snot.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just being honest.
Well, I mean, that's just kind of, yeah, a little bit. But you know what? I bet she's a very sweet girl. She's just genetically just maybe just doesn't have the face that people like.
No, she's cute. She just like looks like she's like spoiled. She looks like a spoiled brat. That's what she looks like.
Well, when a million people are going to your quinceañera, you do have to doll up just a little bit, I would like to think.
Yeah, but that, anyway.
But this tweet actually has gone viral, and if you just look at some of the tweets that some people have been saying, it looks like a lot of people are actually really serious about this. Like, a lot of people, Ruby's dad is not, this is from the News and Observer, journal from somewhere. Ruby's dad is not laughing along with the internet after got a hold of her quinceañera invitation, so it doesn't sound like everyone's on board, but looks like we might have to keep our ear to the tweets and see what's going to be happening coming up here on December 26th when Ruby celebrates her 15th birthday. So, happy birthday, Ruby.
In liquor news.
Liquor news.
Yeah, we have a liquor segment today. This DIY glow-in-the-dark beer is made with jellyfish gene. So what happens is you can make your own DIY, which is
do it yourself.
Beer that glows in the dark.
Just go to your local supermarket and pick up a jellyfish gene, mm-hmm. I guess?
Yep. Former NASA biologist Josiah Zahner made this awesomeness a reality by launching a kit that lets home brewers craft beverages that glow. So Zahner kissed a job of synthetic biology goodbye to launch the Odin, a company devoted to increasing accessibility of science and technology research. With Odin, Zahner created kits for curious minds to conduct their own science experiments. You know, vis-a-vis bioluminescent beer. What? That is so exciting.
Now, my question is, could this technology be extended like to beyond beers? Like, could we like make Sprite bioluminescent?
Probably.
Or Coca-Cola?
Probably.
Because, I mean, I don't drink beer, but I am a huge, like, I guess I can't say Coca-Cola on this campus because this is a Pepsi campus. So I'm a huge fan of, quote, Pepsi, unquote. And I would love to be able to serve a little bit of Christmas glowing magic at my next holiday party.
I don't know if it'll work.
Is there maybe there's something
in
the beer
that...
It might
be because it's just beer.
It reacts to the jellyfish genes?
I wonder. The fluorescent yeast kit...
Science!
The fluorescent yeast kit costs $200.
Oh.
And it takes 10 hours to work over the course of 2 days. Oh. So, but it's cool.
It's cool and highly out of my price range.
I've seen some, there's a hairstylist who like gives people neon hair.
I've seen
that. That glows in the dark.
It is the coolest looking thing too.
So like, cool.
I've only wanted to dye my hair once and that was just to go a shade brown darker. But now that I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh my gosh, I kind of want to have my hair just turn neon, even if it's just like a couple days, like neon blue hair, I think would be the coolest thing, or neon green, one of the two.
But it's funny because, I mean, well, I actually wonder how much hair dye that'll take and how damaging that is to your hair because, like,
destroy your hair.
The more you blow out your hair with colors like that,
yeah,
the worse
absolutely.
Off your hair is.
Absolutely, but it'll be so worth it.
And then, so, in our liquor segment. There's a picture going around for the holidays and it's a Fisher Price bartender. So there are little kids standing at the bar. There's a little toddler baby passing out the beer.
Is this a real thing?
No, I'm glad you asked, Joss.
Okay.
It's fake. It's fake news.
I don't know. I've started to doubt after I found out the Nordstrom selling the rock in the pouch thing was an actual legit thing. And news update for everyone. It's sold out. So you guys can't get it anymore. But I'm glad that I'm glad the Fisher Price Happy Hour play place is not a real thing. I was getting worried because the box looked legit for a minute.
It looks legit. Okay,
the
well,
bartender baby looks so mad.
He has some serious attitude.
And while this might not be exactly liquor related or about liquor, this might have something to do with liquor. Want a fight, mate? That's what one man asked a kangaroo doing a hunting trip to save his dog while he was out hunting. I want to see if I can pull this video up again because it is incredible. It is a viral video going around. But kind of what happens in the video is you see a man jump out of his hunting truck. And he's rushing over to his dog, who's being basically, like, I can only call it, he's being held captive by a kangaroo.
Oh my gosh, only in Australia would this happen.
Only in Australia.
This is the scariest thing.
And, like, the thing is, most people know that, like, kangaroos are kind of, like, known for, like, punching and kicking people in the gut, as if you've watched AFV, you know what this is talking about. But this guy, like, puts this story on its head, and he actually punches the kangaroo in the face.
Oh my gosh.
And the kangaroo stands there, like, he's like not quite sure what happened. Like, this is like, he's like, this should not be happening. This should
this
be the other way around.
Kangaroo.
It's as tall as this guy.
He comes up to his chest.
Oh
my gosh.
Slaps him. We're watching the video right now. We're just slapping him. And he starts yelling at the kangaroo.
And the dogs are like freaking out.
And the kangaroo just like hops away. Like, he's like not 100% sure what to think about.
Only in Australia.
Oh, and he hits the thing hard. You have to look at it. Oh, guys, if you get a chance to watch this video, it is, like, one of the seriously like, the most inspirational things, like, to see this day. Humans finally standing up to the kangaroos. We will no longer tolerate this abuse. We are like, on top of the food chain once again, I guess.
Oh, God. Thank you so much for listening to the IQ Morning Word podcast. KBLU LP 92.3, Logan, Utah. I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Josh Corey. And as my farting, oh my gosh. As my final parting words of advice, or as I like to call them now, my farting words of advice. If you guys do see a kangaroo, remember, punch it in the face. I'm sure nothing bad will happen. Thank you guys, and good morning.